Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching breath, and strike it into seven channels, and he will lead people across in sandals. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Our sermon today is all about a branch. How's that for an opening line? It's all about a branch today. And we'll just get this one out of the way. The word for branch in Hebrew is the netzer, right? And Jesus in Matthew 2 is from the land of Nazareth. So the netzer in the land of Nazareth, many people will say that Jesus was from Branchville. And so when this Isaiah 11:1 is saying that there's going to be a branch, a netzer, that comes from the stump of Jesse, it points to the land of Nazareth. It's the same consonants. Our sermon today is about a branch. And it's specifically about that the root of Jesse will give us a branch. And that branch is going to be a resting place for the whole creation, even to the ends of the earth. So that's our chapter in a nutshell, as we're going to think together this morning. The root of Jesse will give us a branch. That branch is going to be a resting place for the whole creation, even to the ends of the earth. So we're going to look at a stump that has a new branch. That'll occupy the first little bit of our time together. There's a stump that has a new branch. And then we're going to articulate together that we want to be in the branch. So there's a stump with a new branch. You want to be in the branch. That's what Isaiah 11 is telling us. There's a stump with a new branch. You want to be in the branch. And then our passage, our chapter, is on the back end. It's going to tell us that God will get us to the branch. Those are three things we're going to think about this morning. There's a stump with a new branch. You want to be in the branch. God will get us to the branch. So let's think about that this morning. Verse 1 of Isaiah 11 is telling us that what was formerly cut down will bring and produce new life. Verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit. The opening imagery of this chapter is that of a stump and a branch. Now, a stump is the thing of the tree that gets left over after you cut it down. Now, for those of us who care and love of nature, for those who care about nature and love nature, a stump is a discouraging sight. When an oak tree has grown for 120 years in your front yard and lightning hits it, it's discouraging to see the stump that reminds you of the shade and the joy that used to be in your front yard. And so we can resonate with our friend Treebeard, who will say to the stumps, "These used to be my friends." And yet Isaiah is telling us that although the tree has been cut down, new life is about to emerge. Although the tree has been cut down, new life is about to emerge. Where it looks like there's death, God is going to bring life. If we look at just the chapter before our chapter, look at the last two verses of chapter 10 in Isaiah. Chapter 10 is largely about what God is going to do to Assyria. But here are these two verses, verse 33 and 34 of chapter 10. "Behold, the Lord of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one." Chapter 10 of Isaiah ends with a picture of divine deforestation. It's a picture of God taking all that are mighty and tall and immovable, and he lops them down with terrifying power. When God begins to thin out the tree line, you don't want to be the biggest tree. As chapter 11 of Isaiah begins, we zoom into just one stump of a whole deforested region. Chapter 10 is a picture of a cut down forest. Chapter 11, we go to a specific stump. And as we've just been thinking about Assyria, the terrifying power of the great might of Assyria, we're just looking at a little backwoods stump. This is the stump of Jesse. Now, who was Jesse? Who was Jesse of the Old Testament? Well, many of us know Jesse was the father of King David. King David is unique of all the kings in all the world because God himself promised that David would have an everlasting kingdom. Of all the kings for all time, God made a unique promise to King David. And God said that your kingdom, David, will last forever. God said, "Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." 2 Samuel 7:16. Now, what's the big problem in Isaiah? Well, among other things, Isaiah is a prophet who is saying over and over and over again that that kingdom is about to end. Well, which is the voice of God? Is it the 2 Samuel 7, "Your kingdom will last forever"? Or is it the voice of Isaiah? All of this is going to be ended. How can God's promises to David be true if the kingdom is about to end? Well, you have to look at the stump. That's what Isaiah is telling us. That the promise of God to have an eternal kingdom, it comes from the stump. What was originally hewn down will bear new life. And so whereas the kingdom has been cut off, so to speak, God is going to take us back to where it all began. We don't even go back to David in Isaiah 11. Notice that. We don't even go back to David. We go back to David's dad, to Jesse. This is going to be a new beginning to the Davidic line. This is not more of the same of David. This is going to be a new kind of David that will come from Jesse. There's this stump, and that stump will have a branch. We listened last week to how the hope of the creation would rest with a child in a cradle. And today our hope needs to lie in a stump in a forest. All of our hopes are in a child. All of our hopes are in a stump. This is the way that God shows himself strong. All right, so verse 1 is telling us that there's a stump, and that stump will bear a new branch. That's verse 1. Now we want to look at verse 2 through 10. And verse 2 through 10, in different ways, are simply telling all of us that you want to be in the branch. You want to be in the branch. This branch is the kind of place you want to build your swing. This branch is the kind of place you want to perch. This branch is the kind of place that you want to find your cool lemonade and to sit on the grass and rest in this branch. That's what verses 2 through 10 are telling us. Verse 2 begins with this description of the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Now, if you counted those are 7 descriptions of the Spirit of God. And if you're thinking, where else have I read about the 7 spirits of God? Your mind will likely take you to the book of Revelation, to Revelation 1:4. There are 7 spirits described here. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. There's one coming into the world from a stump who is going to be able to fill the world with the knowledge of God because he himself is endowed with the Spirit of knowledge. It's not just Revelation that picks up this language of the Spirit-filled one, the 7 spirits of God. There's an earlier text we want to think about just briefly this morning, and that's in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, we have a long chapter. We're just going to look at one verse. In Proverbs chapter 8, it describes wisdom as personified. Wisdom is speaking in Proverbs 8. And in the speech that wisdom is telling, this is what we hear about wisdom in Proverbs 8. "Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth." Wisdom in Proverbs 8 is the agent of God that pre-exists the creation. Wisdom in Proverbs 8 is the word of God that brings creation into existence. And in Isaiah 11, verse 2, we read about this person who's going to come with the Spirit of the Lord, with wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, with knowledge and the fear of the Lord. These are all words of perceiving, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And as we understand our Bibles, we would understand verse 2 to be telling us that it's not just that this branch is going to be really smart. That's not what verse 2 is telling us. This is going to be one smart guy. Trust his leadership. He'll get you through. No, this Spirit-filled person in verse 2 is described as someone who has the very power of creation within him. This is a person who's endowed with the faculties of God that pre-existed the mountains and the hills. And because he comes with creation power before the mountains had been shaped, this wisdom will have the power to recreate the world. That's why the Spirit's important. And maybe you can see the paradox in our text. We'll point this out briefly, but there's a paradox from verse 1 to verse 10, and maybe you caught it. If you look at verse 1, it seems like we're talking about a branch from the stump of Jesse. There's going to be a branch, but verse 10 maybe throws us off a little. In verse 10, it says, "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a signal." Are we talking about the branch that comes from Jesse or the root that Jesse comes from? Is this the son of Jesse or is this the father of Jesse? There's a paradox that encapsulates those first 10 verses. And as Christians, we realize that there's one coming who will tell us, before Abraham was, I am. There's one coming who will both be the branch from Jesse and he'll be the root of Jesse. David's son is David's Lord. So there's this one coming, and he comes with the power of a new creation. There's a stump that's going to give life to a new branch, and you want to be in this branch. Why do you want to be in this branch? Because there's a new creation coming, and this branch brings the new creation. Look at verses 3 through 9 with me. "And his delight," verse 3, "and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth." That's again the book of Revelation language. "And with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked." That's 2 Thessalonians language. "Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." That's Revelation 19 language, verse 6 through 9. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fatted calf together." That's the language of Thanksgiving and Christmas. "And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox." How strange. "The lion shall eat straw like an ox." And then verse 8, "The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den." Verse 9, "They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain." Why? It's because they'll know God. That's why. "Because the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." There's one coming who is not going to listen or look like the world listens and looks. There's one coming who's going to delight in one thing, the fear of the Lord. Imagine if that was your one delight. Imagine if that was your one desire. Verse 3, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. What do you delight in? I know some of us have Christmas lists that we have to submit to higher powers, right? My mom has asked for my Christmas list. Carol and I have talked about, well, what do we want for Christmas? And there's something about this year that we think a little bit more deeply, like, what do I delight in? What do I think will bring me joy? Verse 3 is telling us that there's one coming. His delight is not going to be in riches. His delight won't be in pleasure. His delight won't be in his reputation. His delight's going to be to know God. To know God. Imagine if that was the driving delight of all of our lives, that we knew God. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord, and he's not going to judge based on appearances, but he's going to judge with righteousness and equity. So we talk a lot in the last decade, increasingly, we talk a lot about how the aspects of who we are affect our life in the world. We talk a lot about race. We talk a lot about gender. Those parts of us that the eye sees and the ear hears. And we talk about how our race or our gender can give us privilege in society or can result in our oppression in society. That's a big part of our cultural conversation. Well, enter the branch. None of those things affect his judgment. Your race and your gender have nothing to do with how this branch will judge you. He's going to judge in righteousness and in equity. And the poor and the meek, he will not show partiality to the poor or the meek. But he also won't show partiality to the rich and the wealthy. He's not going to listen to false slander, the rumors that we tell about one another. He won't listen to that. And he's going to have might in his counsel. Right? We see this at the end of verse 4. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his might, of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked. It's not just that this branch is able to see rightly. He's able to bring about righteousness. He's able to remove the wicked simply with a word. Simply with a word. He's going to be dressed in righteousness and faithfulness. When he comes, when this branch comes, well, what will it look like? What would it look like if there was a judge over all the earth who did not care about your race? He didn't care about your gender. He cared about what was on the inside, and the wicked are put away and the righteous receive relief. What would it look like if the whole world was governed by that judge? Well, that's what verse 6, 7, 8, and 9 give us a picture of. What happens when this judge kills the wicked with the breath of his lips? What happens when that man of lawlessness, the 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 man, what happens when that man is killed with a puff of the judge's breath? Well, verse 6, 7, 8, 9 tell us. The very essence of creation will change. The very essence of creation, the very things that make creation normal right now will not be normal then. We see that most clearly in lions eating straw. But we see that with wolf dwelling with the lamb, the leopard and the young goat, the calf, lion, and even the fatted calf. The calf that is probably the slowest and the most tasty. even that the calf will lie down with, the lion will lie down with. Wolves and lambs sleeping together, leopards and goats taking naps, cows and bears at the same snack shop, lions and oxes at dinner together. And most provoking of all, children playing with rattlesnakes. That last image is most provocative because of the imagery of the curse that's inherent in it. Children playing around the hole of a cobra and putting his hand into the adder's den and being unhurt is a description of a world where the enmity between the serpent's offspring and the enmity between the woman's offspring has been ended. It's a world that you and I have never known. And until Christ returns, we won't know it fully. But there's a day when the curse will be over. There's a day when the toil and sweat with which men go into the field to make their bread, that toil and sweat will end. There's a day when the pain of childbearing that women endure, both in childbirth but child rearing, that pain will be over. There's going to be a day when mothers and fathers will no longer have to look for the remains of their children. Whether their children were torn by wild beasts in the field or whether their children are buried under rubble, there's a day coming when children will be safe. And in that day, we'll be on the holy mountain. We'll be on the holy mountain. It's going to be a new Eden, a new place where God dwells with his people. It's going to be a new place where forever the sun will not set because the light will be among us. In all that holy mountain, they shall not hurt, they shall not destroy, because the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. When the knowledge of God comes into the world changes. The world changes. Well, how's this going to happen? How's this all going to happen? It sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound too good to be true? Doesn't it sound too good to be true? That from a stump there's going to be a branch and that you want to be in this branch. It's the best ending of any story. That the wicked are ended and there's a new paradise entered. Isn't that just a fairy tale? Well, that's what the rest of our chapter is going to tell us. From verse 10 to verse 16, we begin to see how this is going to happen. How will it be that this branch comes from Jesse? And how will it be that this paradise is introduced? Well, it's all about the branch. The branch is our main character. The branch is the protagonist of the story. The branch is the one who goes to Mordor and throws the ring in. The branch is the one that in the last battle finds victory over the evil forces. The branch is the one who fills the earth with the knowledge of the Lord. This branch creates a resting place. It's good to be in the branch. The branch is beautiful. The branch is peaceful. The branch is just. But do you know what else? The branch is for everyone who will come. That's what verse 10 through 16 are telling us. The branch is for the nations. It's a glorious resting place. So how will the nations get to the branch? That's the question now that Isaiah is turning to. How will we get there? Jesse, it's a small stump. The branch will come from Jesse. It sounds like a good branch. Sounds like a branch I want to be in. Is it a branch that you want to be in? How are we going to get there? Well, that's what verse 10 through 16 tells us. God will get us to the branch. God's going to get us to the branch. verse 10 through 16. In that day, verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. It's going to be a glorious resting place. But notice that this is not a resting place for just a couple people. It's not just a resting place for the few. It's a resting place for the nations. The nations are going to inquire of this branch. And how are they going to get there? God's going to open a way. Verse 11. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand a second time. So this is not the first exodus of God's people. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. Where are God's people going to come from in this day of the branch? From everywhere. They're going to come from everywhere. The word recover in verse 11, in that day the Lord will extend his hand a second time to recover the remnant. That word recover is the same word as the word purchase. It's not just that this branch is recovering, but he's purchasing. He's purchasing people from Assyria, purchasing people from Egypt, purchasing them from Pathros, which is in southern Egypt, Cush in Ethiopia, Elam and Shinar in Babylon, Hamath in Assyria. In the day of the branch, God will stretch out his arm, his mighty arm, and he's going to purchase people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. So how are we going to get to the branch? Well, step one is that God purchases people. God will get us to the branch. God purchases people. And he purchases them from the four corners of the earth. In verse 12, he'll gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Jesus himself uses this language, that his angels will go out and collect the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now we can ask ourselves a question here. How are we all going to get along? Isn't that the question we all need to ask? How are we all going to get along? If people from Assyria and Babylon, from Egypt, from Pathros, if people from Israel and from Gaza are all being called into this kingdom, how are we going to get along? Isn't that a question we need to ask? Well, verse 13, the jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, Judah shall not harass Ephraim. Greg, when he prayed for us, he prayed about that salvation from sin that we need to embrace. We're not just saved from the guilt of sin in this branch. We're saved from the power of sin. Something changes in the people that get purchased. In the Old Testament, the people who belonged to God's family rarely got along. We can go back to Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel did not get along. We can go back to Abraham and Lot, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, Joseph. You remember what happened to Joseph, don't you? Did Joseph get along with his brothers very well? No, his brothers sold him off. Well, Ephraim and Judah had a falling out as well. If we just look at the dysfunction of God's family in the Old Testament, we might say that God's family is maybe not one where people get along very well. But Isaiah is telling us that there's a day of the branch coming. And in the day of the branch, the people will be changed. and the animosity between brothers and sisters will be over. They will not hurt or destroy, because he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. We'll say, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This branch doesn't just change the creation, it changes you and me. This branch changes us. And as God brings us from Assyria and from Egypt, from Shinar and Pathros, we're changed. And the old animosities end because we come to know God. Because God is with us. And the spirit of counsel and might has come to dwell in us as he takes up residence in us. This is a big promise in Isaiah. And Isaiah will take time in the last couple verses to show us that God will remove every barrier to get his people home. God is the one who removes every barrier to get his people home. In verse 14, we see the traditional enemies, not just of Israel, but of God, the idolatrous nations around Israel. Even they change, and they obey them. The barrier is taken away. In verse 15, the tongue of the Sea of Egypt, that's the Red Sea, and the river, that's the Euphrates River, these are natural barriers to Israel from the north and from the south. Well, God will utterly destroy one, and he'll, with scorching breath, remove the other, and he's going to lead his people across. God's going to make a way for his people to get to the branch. And not only that, but he's going to build a highway. He's going to take out the water barriers, and he's going to build a pretty big highway. And that highway will be for the exiles of the Exodus, from the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. Now, the word remnant suggests a pretty small group. And the phrase, the remnant that remains, suggests an even smaller group. But how many people came out of Egypt? How many people went down to Egypt? Right? 70 people went down to Egypt. How many people came out of Egypt? Well over a million. They went down 70, they came out a million. The Exodus that God is going to lead his people on, the people that he purchases through the branch, the people that he changes through the branch, and the people that he leads with the branch. There's going to be more. It's going to be big. It's going to be an exodus like the exodus from Egypt. Now, if we have any doubts today about who this branch is, let me assure you, this branch is Jesus. Jesus is the branch in whom we need to abide, and he in us. And so we can say here at the end of our thinking in Isaiah 11, in one sense, this day of Isaiah 11 is already here, in one sense. Hostilities in humanity are ending through the gospel as natural enemies join in fellowship in local churches. God is already changing his people. But yet we know that this day is not fully here. There is more of the branch yet to come. And as we journey through Assyria, and as we journey through Egypt, as we wander on this highway, we need to keep our eyes fixed on the branch. The branch is leading us home. And he's taken out the barriers. He's taken out that Red Sea. He's taken out that Euphrates. We've got our sandals on our feet. And we're headed home to the branch. And what we need to remember is that our job as a church family, our primary job, our mission together, the thing that we commit to do day in and day out, is to testify to the power and the truthfulness of this branch. That there is transformation of life available in the root of Jesse. And so we gather together on mission and we testify that the branch is among us. And then we scatter from Sunday gatherings and we live in our homes and our workplaces and we testify that the branch is among us. And this is a message unlike any other message that your coworkers are going to hear. This is a message unlike any message that our family is going to hear. That there is a living branch that came from a dead stump that will give life to anyone who comes to it. And God has already made a way for us to get there. As we approach Christmas this year, there is one tree that's of primary importance. And it's not the one that you set up in your living room. It's the one that God has set up. And He would have it set up in our hearts. The root of Jesse may seem utterly trivial compared to the wealth of Assyria. But it is in this root and it is in this branch that the power of a new creation rests. May we rest there as well. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this promise of a branch You've given to us. We simply think of verse 10, that the resting place will be glorious. For those of us that are here this morning that do not have glorious rest, we would understand that You've already made a way for us to get to glorious rest. And we'd ask that by Your Spirit, that spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of might, would You guide our hearts into the branch? Would we see the day more clearly when our children will be safe? And not just our children, but all children. Guide us to the branch. We ask that You would give us glorious rest this morning in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.